Greetings and welcome once again to Grace Alive. It's good to have you tuned in with us today, and we trust that you'll stay tuned for the next 30 minutes as we share together with you from God's Word. In just a few moments, we will continue our series of studies on the topic, Going for the Gold. We're looking at our service for the Lord and how in that service, Paul instructs us to strive for the masteries. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 is our starting point for this series of studies, so we invite you to get your Bibles now and turn with us to the second epistle to Timothy, chapter 2 and verse 5. And in just a few moments, we'll start there with our study. As you're doing that, I'll remind you once again that you are watching Grace Alive. And at the end of the program, we'll be giving you complete information about how you can contact us if you have any questions or comments about what you've heard on the program today. Also, if you'd like to receive the audio or video cassette tapes of this entire month's series of studies, they are available, or DVDs or CDs of this month's series also. So if you'd like to receive those, just write and request the series Going for the Gold. We'll be glad to get them out to you in whatever format you prefer without any cost or obligation. So you might want to get a pen or pencil also to get that contact information down at the end of the program. Right now, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 5. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 5. And there we read this. 2 Timothy 2, 5. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. And we've been looking at this passage of Scripture the last 2 weeks. We'll do it again today and then again next week. And considering this issue of striving for masteries. And we've seen that that idea of striving for masteries is not an issue at all that's associated with our salvation, not associated at all with us gaining eternal life, not associated at all with us receiving God's gift of righteousness. But it is associated with our service for the Lord after our salvation. It is associated with allowing that life of Christ that we receive as a free gift at salvation to live out through our bodies of flesh, to live out through our members. And we've kind of been putting on the board here this little equation, this little chart. Grace is not equal to law. And we've been using that just to illustrate the distinction between what Paul teaches about salvation and what he teaches about service. In the dispensation of grace, our salvation is based entirely upon grace, by grace through faith. But our service, Paul says here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, a man is not crowned unless he strive lawfully. Now, in this case, when he uses that word lawfully, usually when we see the word law, we think of the Mosaic law, and that's not the sense in which Paul's using it here. He's not saying you're not crowned unless you strive according to the Mosaic law. But what he is saying is you're not crowned unless you strive properly, according to the truth of God's Word. He tells us in this same book, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We are to strive today for the masteries based upon the rightly divided truth of God's Word. That's the law, the rule, the regulation by which we strive. And as we've studied this coming through last week, we've seen that the key to this striving lawfully is that God is going to judge what sort of work we do. Our judgment, the judgment seat of Christ, is not based upon the size of the work we do. It's not based upon the visibility of the work we do. But it's based rather upon the sort of work. And what sort of work is it? Well, we saw last week that the sort of work that is rewarded is a work of grace and truth. What God seeks to see in our service, what God seeks to see in our striving for masteries, is that we do a work of grace and truth. It matters not how big that work is. It matters not the visibility of that work. It matters not if anybody else even knows about it. Might be only you and the Lord know about it. But if it's a work of grace and truth, then it is a work that is considered worthy of your striving for the mastery, than is the work that considered worthy of running the race and serving the Lord as one that is being conformed to His image. So he tries every man's work. In fact, let's look at that passage. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, just as a way to get started today. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And it's in that passage, and we spent quite a bit of time in this passage last week, so we'll just use it as our starting point for today. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. The fire will try every man's work of what sort it is. The judgment seat of Christ and the fire at the judgment seat of Christ that evaluates our works, our service, is a fire that evaluates the sort of work. Is it a work of grace and truth? As I said, not the size, not the visibility, but the sort of work that it is. And if it's a work of grace and truth, then in verse 14, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. The work of grace and truth will be rewarded. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. If it's not a work of grace and truth, no matter how big it might be, no matter how visible it might be, you know, you may have preached to millions of people, but if you weren't preaching the truth, then it doesn't count. You may have preached to millions of people and preached the truth, but if you didn't do it with a proper attitude of grace, then, again, it doesn't count. It needs to be a work of grace and truth. Now, that work of grace and truth, that's the basis of his evaluation. In other words, if we say, how is God going to evaluate our service? Remember we said last week that there are two issues involved when we're dealing with an athletic performance. And since we're here in 1 Corinthians, let's turn over to chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians because we need to see where that terminology that Paul uses about striving for the masteries, where does that come from and what's it a reference to? 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Paul talks about striving for the mastery to obtain an incorruptible crown. And we're going to talk about that in today's message a little more fully. But remember that there are two things that we need to decide. When we're talking about this athletic event, one is, how do we strive lawfully? What is going to be the basis of our evaluation? Is it going to be how fast we ran or how far we ran? You know, some running events are based on running very fast in a short distance. Others are based on running not quite so fast, but over a long, long distance. Well, if you're running a marathon, you need to know up front that it's a marathon and not a sprint, because you will start a lot differently and run a lot differently in a marathon than you will in a sprint. If you're skating in the Olympics, you need to know, is this an event where I'm being judged for how fast I can skate or how beautifully and stylish I can skate? Is it speed skating or is it figure skating? You need to know the parameters that you're going to be judged on. We saw last week, the parameters of our judgment, the judgment of our service, it's based on, is it a work of grace and truth? So we ought not to be worried about how big we're doing something or how visible what we're doing is. We need to be worried about, is it a work of grace and truth? And if it is, then we are serving the Lord faithfully. If it's not, it doesn't matter how big or visible or acclaimed it is by men. Today, we want to look at that second issue. Not how does he evaluate us, how does he determine the reward, what's the basis of that evaluation, but we want to look at what is the reward? What is that reward that I receive? If I win the race, if I strive lawfully, if I master the mastery based upon grace and truth, if I do a work of grace and truth, then what is the reward? Well, we see it here in verse 25 of 1 Corinthians 9. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. So we are striving for the mastery. We are in the race to obtain a crown. One thing that we know about the crown, the reward is a crown. What is that reward? It's a crown. It is an incorruptible crown. So it's not just a normal crown, but it's an incorruptible crown. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says this, verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me also, but unto all them also that love his appearing. There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. The Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them that love his appearing. What does Paul say? I've fought a good fight, finished the course, kept the faith. What do I get? A crown of righteousness. What's the reward? It's an incorruptible crown. Now, when we use the word crown, we think of that ornament that a king or a queen wears on their head, a crown. And that's certainly true, and that's the meaning of the word in Scripture also. But in Scripture, it's more than, and even today in our usage, it's more than just that ornament that's worn on the head of a king or a queen, the head of a monarch. It also represents the authority of that person. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 13. In Revelation 13, John talks about the crown, a crown, in fact, 10 crowns. And in the passage here in Revelation 13, it's pretty apparent what's meant by the crown, the authority that's represented there. Revelation chapter 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. I stood upon the sea, I saw this beast that had 7 heads, 10 horns, and 10 crowns. Now, if you research that beast, and the 7 heads, and the 10 horns, and the 10 crowns, and all of that, you find that it's a reference to the kingdom of Antichrist. Now, this beast that John saw no doubt had 10 actual crowns on its 7 heads. But those crowns represent something. Those crowns represent the authority of the 10 kings. If you read the book of Daniel, you find that there are 10 kings that are consolidated together. The Antichrist comes, defeats 3 of those kings, takes over the authority of that kingdom, that confederation of kings. And he takes the authority of all 10 of those kings becomes vested in the kingdom of Antichrist. So when you see the beast, when the Antichrist is described as a beast with 7 heads and 10 horns and 10 crowns, it's not just a reference to 10 physical crowns on those horns, on those heads, but it's a reference to the authority that the Antichrist has. The Antichrist exercises all the authority of those 10 kings in his one kingdom of evil. So when you see that word crown, seven heads, ten horns, ten crowns, you should think authority. Because the crown is simply the visible symbol of authority. We still use it that way even today. Today, we might talk about the crown does something. The military in England or the police force in England might serve on behalf of the crown. Or they might say, in the name of the crown, thus and so. Or there might be a proclamation made, the crown decrees so and so. Well, that doesn't mean that crown on the queen's head spoke and decreed something. It means the queen did it, but she did it in her position as queen, from her position of authority as queen. The crown declares a holiday, or the crown declares whatever. And because it carries with it the authority of the queen, it becomes the law of the land. So when Paul says, we strive for an incorruptible crown, he's talking about authority. When he says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge shall give me at that day, he's talking about a crown of authority. The reward that you receive is not just a crown. We hear, you know, that song, will there be any stars in your crown, and every good work you do puts another star in your crown, and all that kind of thing. And that's not what Scripture presents at all. Scripture is not presenting a crown per se, a physical crown, but presenting a position of authority. Now, the second issue that we need to think about when we talk about a reward, the reward is an incorruptible crown of authority. That's what it is. But if I were to say to you, I'm going to give you authority, a question that you might ask to me is, where? Or over whom are you going to give me authority? You're going to give me authority over cockroaches or mice? Well, who cares? Or are you going to give me authority over men, over people? Are you going to give me authority in Pennsylvania, in California, in the United States, in Europe? Where are you going to give me authority, and over whom are you going to give me that authority? Of course, the where relates to over whom. Well, the Scripture talks about where our authority is and over whom our authority is as members of the body of Christ. Let's turn back to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians, chapter 1, and verse 15. And in Colossians 1, Paul says this, verse 16 rather, for by him, that is by Christ, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things are created by him and for him. He's before all things. By him all things consist. That verse 16 says, by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Now, when you read those words, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, those are all different kinds of authority, all different levels of crowns. And Paul says there have been created by God thrones, principalities, powers, dominions, mights, he uses in another place. All of these different kinds of authority have been created. Some of them are on the earth, and they're visible, you can see them. Some of them are in heaven, and they're invisible, you can't see them. So there are thrones in the earth that you can see. There are thrones in the heavens that you can't see. There are positions of authority in the earth that you can see. There are positions of authority in the heavens that you can't see. Your reward is some of those positions of authority in the universe. But where? The question still remains, where and over whom? There's at least two options here. One would be that your authority is in the earth. Another would be that your authority is in heaven, because he made thrones and principalities and powers and dominions on the earth, and he made those same things in the heavens. We'll turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And let's see if we can determine from what Paul says about us as members of the body of Christ where our authority would be. Ephesians 1 verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Where is our blessing? Well, according to that verse, it's in heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6, "Hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Where are we seated? Well, according to that verse, in heavenly places. Turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Our conversation is in heaven. According to that verse, where is our conversation? Well, according to that verse, it's in heaven. Our blessings are in heaven. Our position is in heaven. Our conversation is in heaven. So if our blessings are in heaven, and our conversation is in heaven, and our position is in heaven, then where would our authority rest? Well, it seems reasonable to assume that where all of our blessings are, and where our position is, and where our conversation is where our authority would be. So our reward is a crown, authority. Where is it? It's in heaven. When you say, where would I have authority and over whom? And remember I said those two go together. Where would I have authority and over whom would I have authority? Well, the where seems pretty clearly heaven. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 1. "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?" So if we were to say, well, what kind of authority am I going to have? Where and over whom? Well, you're going to have authority where your blessings are, where you're seated, and where your conversation is in heaven. And over whom? Well, that verse says, "Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?" Where do angels live? Well, angels live in that area where our blessings are, in the heavenly places. So our authority is in heaven over the angels. So the reward that you receive is authority. The authority that you receive is in heaven over the angels. You receive that reward of authority in heaven over the angels based on the sort of work that you do. Is it a work of grace and truth? That is it based on God's word rightly divided? A study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be shamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The approval comes when you teach the truth rightly divided, and when you teach that truth rightly divided with the spirit of grace. You put those two things together and you say, I've got a work that is the proper sort that God is looking for one of his sons, one that is being conformed to the image of the Father. So I've got the proper sort of work. The reward that I receive, if I strive for that mastery and master it, the reward that I receive is authority in the heavenly places over the angels. The more mastery, the greater the reward. The greater the reward, the greater the authority. Remember, Paul lists those positions, thrones, principalities, powers, mights, dominions. Those are all different levels of authority. They're not all the same, or they wouldn't all have different names. They're different levels of authority. Greater reward. You can compare this to Israel's authority in the earth during the earthly kingdom. As they reign on the earth, we reign in the heavens. As they reign over God's earthly creatures and creation, we reign over God's heavenly creatures and creation. As they execute God's will in the earth, we execute God's will in the heavens based on our reward. Now, next week, we'll talk about how our service now produces that crown of authority for eternity. Right now, we'd like to invite you to write to us with any questions or comments that you might have. Our address is Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. That's Grace Alive, 743 Ridge Road, Fallen Timber, Pennsylvania, 16639. Our web address, www.gracealive.us, and our toll-free phone number, 877-53-GRACE. We look forward to hearing from you this week with any questions or comments that you might have. If you'd like the audio or video cassette tapes, DVDs, or CDs, just be sure to mention that. And now, till next week, we trust that God's grace will truly be alive in your life.